flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Jason Longshore. Told you we would talk about Atlanta United and their win in Birmingham in preseason on Saturday. We've talked about all the off the field stuff so far on the show. Let's talk a little bit about the on the field and kind of where this team is and maybe what we learned a little bit on Saturday. It was a 2-0 win. Kamen Togashi with a goal from a set piece. Ronald Hernandez with the assist. Edwin Mosquera earned the free kick that Hernandez played into Togashi. Second goal was an own goal. Really nice build-up. Sabalov Janidze, a huge part of the concluding elements to that. A good, solid win. Didn't really give up a whole lot of chances. Birmingham, I thought, you know, it was their first preseason game. It looked it. I think this is going to be an interesting Birmingham team. They have a player who was named to the U.S. U-17 national team today, who I thought was one of the better players in the second 45 for them. Ramiz Hamuda, a center back who is 16 years old. Really impressive player. It's an interesting Birmingham team. I do like some of the additions that they're looking at bringing in. But they're not as far along in preseason as Atlanta United, and they're not as far along tactically either. And I think that was the biggest jump from game one to game two for Atlanta United in preseason. In Chattanooga, it felt a little vanilla. It felt a little basic in the way that the team played. It didn't in Birmingham. It felt different. I think there were good performances all the way around. I think when you look at the first group, that was Josh Cohen in the goal, Hernandez, Efrain Morales, Noah Cobb, Ronan Wynn across the back line left to right, Jay Fortune, Bartosz Schlisch. Schlisch wore the armband in the first 45. Those were your holding midfielders. Will Riley was your 10. Edwin Mosquera was on the left. Luke Brennan on the right. Kamen Togashi up top. I think Brennan stood out for his ability to try to go 1v1, and that's something that I think Ronnie Dyla has definitely enjoyed about him. Schlisch, armband really suited him. I thought he stepped up and was doing everything possible to lead by example, but also lead with his voice and with his body language and mannerisms. Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan played the full 90, and I thought Noah was solid. I thought Morales was solid. The backline wasn't really tested. You know, Hernandez and Wynn stood out in ways because they got forward a good bit, but the backline wasn't really tested. And a big reason why they weren't tested was the counter pressure thought Edwin Mosquera thrived in these moments of hassling teams as they were trying to build up. If you go back to what Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette said about Latte Lath, he likes to hassle defenders. Edwin Mosquera was enjoying hassling Birmingham defenders. Kamen Togashi was enjoying hassling Birmingham defenders in that first 45. And it kept up in the second 45. You know, that group was Brad Kazan, Dominic Chongqui, Luis Abram, Noah Cobb, Matt Edwards. The holding midfielders were Mateusz Klik and Tristan Muyamba, Alexei Maranchuk as the 10, Saba on the left, Brennan on the right, and Jamal Tiare up top. That group as well hassled defenders. The counter pressure was key. And I say counter pressure really specifically, and it's something that we're going to be talking about a lot this season. Atlanta United will want to keep the ball. They're not going to be maybe as focused this season as they have been in some previous seasons on just keeping the ball no matter where. They want to keep the ball. They want to play in the attacking half. They definitely want to play in the attacking half. So they want to get forward. They want to get into that half, but then they don't mind keeping it once they get into the attacking half. You're going to lose it at some point. You're going to lose the ball at some point. It's just, it's the nature of the game. You know, you're going to have a wayward pass. You're going to have a good defensive play. You're going to go for a 1v1 on the dribble, and it's not going to come off. What jumped out to me in game two versus game one was the counter pressure to win the ball back. Not conceding possession and pressing, but having possession, losing said possession, and then immediately trying to win the ball back. So we talk about a counter attack. This is like counter defending. That's why it's counter pressure. You're trying to win the ball back immediately after losing it. After the game, Ronnie Dyla spoke to the media. I asked him about that, and here's what he had to say.
More chances playing forward today when the counter pressure was as good as it was. How, in the way that you want the team to play, how connected are those two things?
We need more. I think we can press even higher in moments. Sometimes we just give them the ball and we drop a little bit more. And when we do that, it's okay. Sometimes in the games you need to rest a little bit and you let them play sideways, but not through us. But every time we win the ball in good situation, we have to look inside. We have to get Alex on the ball. We need to get the strikers on the ball. We need to get wingers on the ball. And then we need the runs from behind. So then you can choose then if you want to counterattack or you want to keep the ball. But the most important that we are playing on their half instead of our own. Because if you play backwards, we are not as a goalkeeper. And then they get energy to want to press. They don't like to stop and run against their own goal. No team likes that. So we don't want to give them something they're looking for. So you win it. If you can't play backwards, then forward. And we play backwards or sideways and then forward again. So, and then, of course, you need midfielders that they can orient themselves, they open up their body. To really control the game in the center of the pitch. And I think we have that, but they are not used to be so much on the ball that they are now, and that's something we just have to keep on.
That was Ronnie Dyla from Protective Stadium in Birmingham, speaking to me and the media about that counter pressure. And he went into a lot of different elements there. And I'm going to recommend to all of you who are fans and want to learn a little bit more about the game and maybe how the X's and O's work, listen to Ronnie Dyla's media availabilities, whether it's after training during the week or it's after games. He is very clear. He's very thorough. I asked him about counter pressure specifically, and he ended up taking that to body positioning for midfielders, which was fascinating. Pay close attention to what he has to say, because I think he enjoys the teaching components of it. He enjoys the conversation about it. He's a nerd in that way, like a lot of us who just love the game and love to try to figure it out. Except he gets to do that on the training pitch and then put it into practice in games and then talk about it afterwards. The other thing that jumps out to me when I hear that back and I start to think about what's going to be different. If you're an Atlanta United fan and you've been there from Tata Martino to Frank De Boer to Gabriel Heinze to Gonzalo Pineda, Rob Valentino, what is going to be different? in 2025. When he talked about not wanting to play backwards and keep the ball in that zone, in that area, and to not get the other team excited about stepping up to press, that's very different than Gonzalo Pineda's mentality in that regard. And it's not right, wrong. It's just different. Gonzalo Pineda talked about before the New York Red Bulls home match last season, or 2023, when Atlanta beat the Red Bulls. It was the conversation about, I want to invite the pressure and then play through it. Why? It created space further up the field. So if you play through it, then you've eliminated defenders and you have space to go attack in. That's valid. The risk is you lose the ball and you give up a goal because the other team wins the ball high up the field. Everything's risk reward here. So for Ronny Dyla, he doesn't want that. If you have to, because there isn't a pass forward, you have to go sideways or you have to go backwards, the next pass he wants forward. He doesn't want consistent passing back and passing sideways. I don't know if there's a number. I don't know if there's an amount of time. He wants the ball forward quickly. That's going to be different, and that's something to watch for with this Atlanta United team. When they play back, you have to find the outlet to go forward. And it's something that I talked about on the two broadcasts, the streams for the club. There's times where you're on the left side, for example, and there's nothing to go forward there. You have to go back to get to the right side. Okay, it's got to be quick. You can't pass back and then pass at a slow pace over and then pass one more time to the right. No, no, no. It's got to be fast. You've got to get the ball to the opposite side where the open space is and go. When this team gets that, they have the pieces to do it. When they get that ingrained, it's going to be a fun team to watch. And I think it suits the group. And I think you're seeing the building blocks of it so far. So coming up in preseason for Atlanta United, tomorrow afternoon, they are playing Orlando City, closed door friendly at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. The team traveled to Bradenton today, Saturday, and next Wednesday. Additional matches down at IMG. So stay tuned. Hopefully going to have some streams for you. Stay tuned. Nothing guaranteed as of yet in that regard. It's not the easiest place to broadcast out of. It's not really built for broadcast. So we're all doing our best. So stay tuned for that. A couple of other preseason updates around MLS. I mentioned Cucho Hernandez. He was transferred to Real Betis in La Liga. $16 million, huge transfer. Really hard to say no to if you're Columbus. Almost impossible to say no to if you're Cucho. A lot of people will ask why. I think the player wanted it, and I think it's too good of a deal to pass up for everybody involved. It is bad timing for Columbus, and this is the nature of being in a league like Major League Soccer, like a lot of leagues around the world. Sometimes you're going to have to make a deal for business. And then you're going to have to figure it out for the soccer side. And that's where Columbus Crew will be now. They have to go find a forward. They have Christian Ramirez, so they do have cover. Maybe they can get a six-month loan, get to the summer, and then have a wider window to go buy someone. Because now the European major leagues, the windows are closed. So if you're going to sign somebody from one of those leagues, it's got to be somebody that a club can live without replacing. It's not easy to find. Another big move in the league, I think it's going to be a huge move. Houston Dynamo bought Jack McGlynn. This was one of the cash for player trades in MLS. They bought Jack McGlynn for over $2 million. Could go up to $3.5 million. I'm shocked that Philadelphia would sell a talented 21-year-old player with a ton of upside who can be a playmaker to a team in the league. I'm just shocked that they would move on from that player. Actually, I'm not. When you look at the way Philadelphia plays, they don't really want playmakers. And that's something where you've had a lot of talented young players come through that academy, and they've moved them on very quickly. Something they're going to have to figure out, because Jack McGlynn's a player that I think if you're not going to spend a lot of money in the transfer market, he's a player you'd want to build around. I think he's going to thrive in Houston. I think it makes Houston a really interesting team to watch. Dejan Jovalich, mentioned him from the LA Galaxy to Sporting Kansas City. SKC also signed a designated player midfielder, Manu Garcia, to add to a revamped attack. Watch out for Kansas City and Peter Vermes. LAFC, they got the deal done to sell Mateusz Bogusz to Cruz Azul. A lot of big deals there. A lot of 8, figure, high seven figure kind of deals there. And there could be more around MLS with Evander reportedly on the market, Luciano Acosta potentially on the way out. Lots of interesting things could happen around MLS over these last couple weeks of preseason. Coming up next, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. That's coming up next in 5 minutes on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.